Randy Babbitt applauds the initiative of the instructor community. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. The Society of Aviation and Flight Educators chaired the Pilot Training Reform Symposium earlier this month, and FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt made it in time to hear the final reports and recommendations on the afternoon of day two. He conveyed genuine enthusiasm for the work of the group, and we'll hear his keynote speech today.
Wow, that was a very, very kind introduction. I appreciate it very much. I think the best way that I could establish my credentials with this crowd, and this is an impressive crowd, would just be to start with the following: 157-4464. That's my number, and I know it because, just like you, I wrote it down 1,000 times on somebody else's logbook. So when you said I started my career as an airline pilot, that came quite later. I was a flight instructor and actually started in general aviation as a line boy. So I have seen a lot of different components of aviation, and it's really special for me to be here with this crowd, and the role you play is so important to aviation going forward. You're the movers and the shakers of the training world. Actually, I should correct that to the flight education community, because the very name of this group, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, really makes a point that I want to establish right off the bat. We tend to use the words training and education interchangeably, but they're not. And I think you know that. Training is teaching someone how to do something, and that's important. It's important when it comes to when you're teaching a pilot to aviate. Good old stick and rudder basic skills. Training is an accurate term. But the trifecta of true airmanship requires pilots to not only aviate, they have to navigate, and they've got to communicate in the real world. And that's where education is so important, and why I'm so pleased to see the focus and the emphasis that you as a group put on it. Education is the foundation for that, and teaching people, you know, beyond the textbook, no matter what, you know, how to navigate those challenges, how to communicate through crew resource management. That's what scenario-based training, or should I say scenario-based education, is all about. Education helps us really and truly develop professionalism. I can tell you that 40 years in the private sector doesn't really prepare you well for the government service, because I wish that I could just simply mandate professionalism, but I can't. We can make rules that certainly outline what we think is professional behavior, but professionalism, as you well know, goes far beyond rule-driven behaviors. It's a mindset. To use flight instructor terms, and I can do that because I was one, professionalism requires application and correlation. It's an attitude that makes you do the right thing every time, all the time, regardless of who's watching. That's professionalism. And it's about being a good aviation citizen. And I think that term is probably familiar because, well, it's because we heard that term, the aviation citizen, from one of SAFE's members. We liked it so much it's now included in the Aviation Instructor's Handbook. An aviation educator helps develop an aviation citizen, a professional, not just by training to proficiency in aircraft control and aircraft systems so you know all the numbers. That's nice. But you also want to educate a pilot. A real education, including professionalism. A pilot who understands that safety is always the number one priority. They always are trained to use good judgment, think about their decisions when they make decisions, recognize risk and how to manage risk. Those are important things. And most important, be accountable. You're accountable to a lot of people when you're in control of an airplane. Now, these ideas are also in the flight instructor's Model Code of Conduct, which was just released by a group of industry folks who are passionate, I think as passionate as I am, about professionalism. And I'm a real believer in the value of having a code of conduct and what a tool it can be to promote safety, promote good judgment, promote ethical behavior, and personal responsibility. And that's a key one. Many of the things we see today in aviation where we have seen less than professional behavior, always when we track them backwards, what do we wind up with? Someone literally didn't take personal responsibility. They didn't think about their impact to the system as a whole. because the safety of the system is dependent on each and every one of us. It truly is. Now, another part of developing true professionals is mentoring. And I've had the advantage of being on both sides of the mentoring process over my career. Mentoring, as we know, is a transfer of experience. It's very fundamental. I've learned a lot from pilots who taught me in my early days. I would venture to say, and I always tell instructors, if you don't think your students pay attention to you, if you don't think what you have to tell them is important, everybody in here learned to fly, and I would bet you $5 bills against dimes that you still have something that you always remember that your first instructor told you. We all do. So what you say, your word carries so much weight with them, and that's experience transfer. I learned a lot from people who, when I was a pilot with Eastern Airlines, I was a first officer. The old captains taught me a lot. Some of which was a good idea to forget, but, you know, nevertheless, they taught me a lot of things. I mentored students. I mentored first officers when I was a pilot at Eastern. So all of this, the experience transfer and taking the good things that you know, the things that are going to make you a better professional pilot and passing them on are so important for us. And SAFE's members, who I was dazzled, your membership is most impressive. It includes at least a decade's worth of Flight Instructors of the Year, and I have had the privilege to award a couple of those. I think some of them are in the room right here. There was one from 2 years ago at Oshkosh. There you go. See, I remember. That's a wonderful award, and I know how proud you were to receive it, but I was equally proud to be part of giving it to you. I really want to thank you all for and congratulate you on starting the SAFE Aviation Educator Mentoring Program. And I especially like the statement. One of the statements in the program says, and I quote, "Even experienced aviators may occasionally want or need insights when teaching in new aircraft, new technologies, or new techniques," end of quote. None of us should ever stop learning. Somebody reminded me one time, one of the more famous golfers that ever played the game, Jack Nicklaus. He won the Masters when he was 46 years old, and the week before he won that, he was taking golf lessons. He took golf lessons his whole career, and he was the best there was at the time. None of us ever outgrow or outpace the need to have education, and that's why it's so important. These initiatives show how all of you on the front lines, or I guess I should say on the flight lines, in the flight education community are making a difference, a big difference. And not just today, not just tomorrow, but for the future of aviation. The foundation that you set today will be with us for a long time. And you do more than talk about professionalism. I certainly like to, and I know you like to, and we think that's one of the ways that we move it. But you do it by example. People watch what you do, and I know you take that very seriously with your students. But that's what, when you do that, and when you lead by example, that's what gives life and meaning to the idea of a safety culture. And it'll make professionalism for the next generation as natural to them as breathing is to us. It just becomes the way you do things. So I'm really eager to have and happy to have your help in developing the FAA's 5-year program for safety. And I know that you've probably had some discussions on it already. I know that Mel is here, and probably if he hasn't, we'll cover more. But the strategy has 4 basic elements, and I'll recap if you don't recall. The first is risk management. Improving how pilots do risk management is one of the most effective ways to reduce fatal accidents. And one of our new risk management tools is an aviation or an advisory circular on airmen transition to either experimental or unfamiliar airplanes. It's worth reading, and more important, it's worth using. The second area is training and education, with an expanded focus on flight instructors. We're working with you in a couple of key areas. One of the updates in the advisory circular on flight instructor refresher courses. Another is testing. Now, we recognize that the way the FAA does testing influences the way the industry does education and training. And so we've got to get that piece right, and that's why we welcome the relationship and working with you. We appreciate your offer to help and by forming a steering committee of industry leaders to help us with that process. In part 3 of the GA transformation strategy is safety promotion through the FAA safety team. Partnership with the industry is a key part of the FAST team's approach. And we're looking at innovative ways and are certainly open to new ideas and ways to enhance it. So stay tuned there. And last but not least is outreach and engagement with organizations like SAFE, like NAFI, like AOPA, like EAA, like GAMMA, plus club types, manufacturers, insurance providers, academia, anybody who has a role to play in GA safety and professionalism. We don't have all the answers. We know that. But we need your help, and collectively, we are a lot wiser and can design better programs and better solutions working together. And therefore, we look for your help. Another area where we could use your help is in supporting NextGen. Now, I know that there is a perception that NextGen is somehow of benefit only to big operators. Well, the reality is that everyone in aviation stands to gain from next-gen technology. Next-gen, as you know, is the transformation from ground-based radar and ground-based navigational facilities to space-based navigation, surveillance, and communication. Now, first and foremost, next-gen makes aviation sense. It makes safety sense. It gives pilots a much greater situational awareness in the cockpit, and that's critical to all of us. NextGen bundles dozens of improvements in airports, in avionics, in air traffic control, gives the controllers a different picture, and gives us in the cockpit a better picture. And the entire NextGen transformation is going to create a much more effective, a much more responsive, a greener airspace system that will serve the public, and it supports our national economy. It's going to take some time. You know, we're not going to snap our fingers and shift to this overnight. But it'll take time to develop the full system. But we can use your help now. GA has always and long been on the leading edge of technology. Many of you were flying and instructing in aircraft that had integrated glass cockpit avionics as soon as they came out of the factory. And I know this audience also includes some people who literally wrote the book on using it. Because of where you fly and how you fly, you've been among the first to take advantage of some of that technology, taking advantage of things like the WASS-enabled GPS approaches established all over the country, including hundreds of small airports around the country where we could never, the FAA could never justify the cost of installing and maintaining an ILS system. But we can afford to design a GPS-based approach and make it available to everyone who's so equipped. So I'm asking you to continue to follow that tradition and by help us to expand and validate the benefits of NextGen. You and the pilots can, and the pilots that you educate, can certainly do that by taking advantage of what's already available out there. Not just the WASS-enabled GPS approaches, but also ADS-B. And there's several major benefits available in ADS-B. First of all, you get much better surveillance in fringe areas where sometimes there isn't even radar coverage. Second, ADS-B doesn't have the sighting problems. It doesn't sit behind mountains. It doesn't get itself blocked out. And third, it's consistent throughout the range. It's as accurate, since your position is being accurately broadcast within feet, it doesn't suffer the loss that long-range radar gives us. And here's the big one. Aircraft equipped with ADS-B can get real-time flight information and real-time traffic information without a subscription fee. Where else do you get that offer? These services exist in many areas right now, but they'll be available almost everywhere in the future that we have radar today. And when I say the future, I'm talking about 2013. I do know that ADS-B certainly it has a cost to it, and it's an investment. Times right now are tough. But this technology has helped pilots in GA all over our country. In Alaska, it's remarkable the transformation that happened in Alaska. Some of you may be familiar with Capstone. Not only did it provide us coverage where there was no radar because of the mountainous terrain, but the incredible part for GA pilots was in the period of time from beginning to the full implementation of the Capstone program and all the GA aircraft equipped with ADS-B, the accident rate was reduced by 50%. We cut the accident rate in half. That's a remarkable use of interesting and new good technology. Again, you know, it has a lot of advantages to it. There's other areas. Gulf of Mexico, 250,000 square miles of the Gulf of Mexico today have ADS-B coverage, which gives you the precise identification that you would have were there radar there, but there isn't radar there. And so every day, all the helicopter operations that move 10,000 people a day on and off oil rigs enjoy precise, direct navigation, and they're able to shoot approaches onto rigs when the weather's bad. I mean, so many things they can do, but between the situational improvements of their situational awareness and the operational advantages, it's a remarkable jump forward for them. And I haven't mentioned fuel savings or emissions or the time of the people involved. So anyway, what I would ask that you use your influence as educators to help us explain to people and help us educate pilots to understand the benefits. Help them to learn to use the technology and use it for enhanced safety, because that's what it's all about. I said at the beginning, but educating pilots to be safe pilots and to be good aviation citizens is one of your fundamental foundations, and it's one of ours as well. So thank you so much for inviting me here today, and I'd like to thank you for all that you do for professionalism. You are the ground level. You're the very beginning of the next generation of aviators, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with you today. Thank you very much.
Randy Babbitt is administrator of the FAA. You can find out more about the Pilot Training Reform Symposium and read or download the reports and some of the PowerPoints from the event at www.pilottrainingreform.org. Find out more about the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators online at safepilots.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us online at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.